All right. Today, I'm excited to preach today. Anytime I go to like a conference or something, I come back and I'm like, I'm ready to go. Like I'm like overflowing today. So have you ever felt alone? Like, have you ever been in that place in your life where you've kind of thought, God, where are you? Anybody? Like, you guys been in that spot? I mean, I've been in that spot like many times in ministry. Like, Lord, where are you? Okay, seems like I'm alone here. Have you ever really questioned, like, is he really near? I mean, the scriptures tell me that he is, but have you ever really questioned that? Like, Lord, are you, like, for real? Like, it's like I believe it with my mind, but I can't feel it in my heart. I'm not sure. Have you left me or something? And I think if we're being honest, we've all been in this place at different points in our lives. Some of you may be there right now. And so if you want to know what our problem is, anybody like to know what their problem is? I'm that kind of guy. Tell me what my problem is. Like, that would be great. I appreciate that. I probably already know and don't want to admit it. But our problem is that we tend to let our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions tell us what's true. We don't see Jesus. We don't feel Jesus. And when we don't see Jesus and we don't feel Jesus, we tend to think he must not be near. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In the we don't see Jesus, we don't feel Jesus, sometimes that's our own choosing because we actually kind of don't want to because we want to feel sorry for ourselves. Listen, been there, done that too. I'm not just pointing the finger. Sometimes we just like to feel sorry for ourselves, okay? We don't believe that he's near, and that's where our soul will take us. But I want to tell you that if your soul takes you there, I'm going to tell you that that still doesn't mean that it's true. It doesn't mean that he's not near. There's a early practice for some Native American groups where when a boy is 13, so the night of his 13th birthday, they will take him out, the tribe, the men, you know, will take him out into the deep woods blindfolded and leave him there, okay? Now, he's been tested. He's been trained. He knows how to hunt. He knows how to fish. He knows how to scout. He knows how to do a lot of things, and it's kind of the final step of manhood. Aren't you guys, praise God, we don't declare boys men at 13 years old, right? Praise God. That would be not bad, not good. That would be bad. But this is kind of their last step of this makes you officially a man. So they would stay in the woods all night alone, okay? And as they're out there alone, what you may not know is they're separated from their family and their tribe for the first time in their life. It's not like they've had other nights like out camping by themselves. It's the first time that they were isolated. It's the first time that they knew what it was like to be separated like that. And so you could imagine how long that night probably is for that young man as he's blindfolded. So after a long night, you can begin to see the sunlight through the blindfold. And as he takes that blindfold off and looks around, he would always be able to look down the path and he would be amazed to see the shadow of a man down the path, a man who was holding a bow and arrow. This man was his father. What would happen is his father had been there all night long protecting the son even though he couldn't see him. Guys, this is a picture of what our Heavenly Father is like to us. There's times where it's like you feel like you're in the dark, you're blindfolded, I can't see him. It's like he surely isn't here. I'm not hearing anything, feeling anything, seeing anything. He's there. He's there and he's protecting you. He's watching over you and maybe he's just waiting, right? He's not going to let you get hurt. He's not going to let you do something that is going to harm you for life. He's there protecting you, watching and waiting. God is always there. As we continue this series, The Omnis of God, today we're looking at his omnipresence. Say omnipresence. Okay, to break that down, it's real simple. Two words, omni meaning all, present mean he's near. He's before you. He's here. He's in your midst. And so these omnis that we're looking at, last week we looked at omniscience. And his omniscience means that he knows everything. And Tony Evans had this great way of explaining the three omnis. He says, he knows what needs to be done. That's omniscience. He has the power to do it. That's his omnipotence that we'll look at next week. And he's always wherever he needs to be to do what needs to be done. That's his omnipresence. So they work together hand in hand. His omnipresence, God is all present. He's always before you. He's always near. God is everywhere. And today we're going to continue in the 139th Psalm, and we're going to see what King David had to write about this. He says in verse 7, "Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I live at the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you." See, God is everywhere, all the time, close to everyone, close to everything. We're told over and over and over that he fills the earth, right? He fills the earth. And so when we think about God being all present, there's a couple things that come to mind. In one sense, as a follower of Christ, as someone who's indwelt by the Spirit, we don't really need to say, God be with me today. Okay. Now, if you say that, let me finish. Don't write me off. But we don't need to say, God be with me today. He's already here. He's already there. He's already everywhere, all the time. What our request really ought to be is more like this: God, make me aware of your presence today. I think that's a better way to actually ask it. It's not just like, God be with me. He's kind of like, I mean, imagine sitting with your spouse and you're like, hey, would you come sit with me? And she'd be like, yeah, sure. Yeah, okay, I'll do that. I'm already here, right? But it's not just God be with me. It's make me aware of your presence. Make me able to know that you are near. And so in another sense, we pray sometimes, even in a worship service, we may pray something like, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, right? Well, isn't that like asking him to be with me? Isn't that like asking him to come near? And he should already be here. So the fact that he's already here, and it seems unnecessary, but I want to tell you again, by inviting the Holy Spirit, by saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Will you come? Will your presence come? What we're doing when we ask that is we're asking him to manifest himself, make himself known, which brings us back to the same point. Make me aware. Make me aware of your presence. So it doesn't matter if you say, God, be with me today. It doesn't matter if you say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We're looking for the same thing. We're looking for, God, I want to be aware of your presence. God, I want to know that you are near. I want to sit at your feet. So these are good. These are okay things to ask. But Psalm 139, verse 7, it started out with a couple of questions. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And I read that and I think, David, that's kind of a silly question. Like, those are really kind of things like, why are you asking those things? Because if you know the story of David, right, David's life was a roller coaster, okay? A lot of times you may not think about that. You think of David and Goliath, and then you think about David slayed in the 10,000s. Like, David was this awesome warrior. Man, David's life was pretty messed up. He had this roller coaster ride, but what you will see over and over and over in the life of David is in every situation, every scenario, he always comes back to one thing. He seeks God. He basically says to God, Lord, make me aware of your presence. Like, I need you. I need your plan. I need your presence in my life. So he had this habit of seeking God, and God had this habit of always making David aware of his presence. So it went both ways. Where can I go to escape your presence? Something you need to know here is that this is speaking of the Holy Spirit, and this is before Pentecost. This is before Jesus came to the earth. This is in the Old Testament. This is David. The Holy Spirit's always been here. He was hovering over the waters upon creation, right? He didn't come in the book of Acts. So David's saying, where can I go to escape your presence? I know that your presence is here, God. Where can I flee from your presence? And I love this because the Greek word for flee there means face. So think about that. Where can I flee from your face? Where can I go where I would be in a place, God, where you wouldn't be before me? Where could I go where a place where you would not be right here in my face? What do you do to somebody when you really want to get their attention? Right? You get in their face. Right? Ask my sisters how many times me and my brother got in their face. I'll be like, you cannot ignore me. I am in your face, right? You get right up in their grill. Sometimes we would lick their face, okay? Like, I'm just saying. That's the kind of kids me and Jason were. Listen, I have outgrown that, praise God. Yes. Plus, they wear makeup now. This was before makeup. I would not lick somebody's face who's wearing makeup. But when you want somebody to know you are there and they're ignoring you or they're trying to avoid you, you get in their face. And David says, where is a place that I can go where you're not up in my face? Where can I go? I'm looking for a place. Where could I possibly go? Right? God is spirit, and it's foolish to think that just because we can't see him or feel him that he's not there. It's foolish to think that he can't see us because he is present. And it's like David was saying, David knew this, and it was like he was saying, hypothetically, Lord, like if I was foolish enough to try to get away from you, like what are my options? Because it doesn't really seem like I have one. Like you are everywhere. See, this isn't really I'm trying to get away from you, God. It's really more of a exalting God. Like you're everywhere, God. I couldn't get away from you if I wanted to. I don't even have any options. It's like David's kind of talking himself through this, and he's like, yeah, no, I can't come up with anything. God is everywhere. This is amazing. He says, you know what? If I go up to heaven, God, you're there. If I go down and make my bed in Sheol, Lord, you are there. And so when we look at this, we're thinking about two places. And if you physically think about them, we typically think about heaven, right, as high as you can go. Like when they would talk about the heavens here, they didn't know about space, right? They hadn't explored space or anything. They would have called that the heavens. They'd just been like up there as high as you can go. When you think about Sheol, this is the place of the dead, right? This is the grave. And so you're thinking like that's down there. It's the heavens are way up above Sheol. The underworld is down below. And so it's kind of like you could say, man, you could go to space. Or if you're a kid and you think this is possible, you can try to dig your way to China, right, as far as you can go each way, and there he is. He's already there. He's waiting for you. Surprise, okay? But it's more than that, because when David uses these references, when he's talking about heaven and he's talking about Sheol, he's talking about this holding place for the dead, see, he's talking about more than physical space here. He's talking about spiritual space. When we think about God's omnipresence, there's a lot of times where we limit ourselves to think he's everywhere we go on the earth. Man, this earth is not it for God. This earth is kind of it for us right now, but it's not it for God, right? This universe, as big and expanding as it is, like, it's nothing to God, right? He's not like up in space like by Orion's belt, like kind of hanging out there like, wow, this stuff is really cool. He's bigger than that. Right, this stuff is little to him, and so when we think about it, it's beyond the physical, because God's not limited to the physical, because God is spiritual. Spiritually speaking, where can you go to escape his spirit, flee his presence? Better yet, why would you even want to? I'll tell you why you'd want to. Sin. Sin is why you want to try to figure out a way to flee him, escape his presence, get out of here. Because sin says, how can I escape your presence? But grace says, how can I be aware of your presence? Right? Sin says, don't tell my dad. Grace says, I need my dad. Right? We got to look at it this way. And so God is everywhere, spiritually speaking. There's nowhere, no place we can get to where he's out of reach. This is what some of you may need to hear, and definitely the people that are out there need to hear, is that, man, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been at, you're not out of reach for God because he's there. He's already there. It just takes a step of faith of saying, Lord, I believe. Lord, show me who you are. Make me aware of your presence. Verse 9, he said, if I live at the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits. Here we're talking about the natural. This is where he does get to the natural. He's like, this physical space. Whether I go to the east, I go to the west, there you are, God, wherever I go. But I want you to know something here. Don't confuse God being everywhere for everything being God. Right? He's not in everything. Like the pew is not God. Like we get, and that might sound weird to some of you guys, but there's a lot of things that people worship that they think like God is in it. Like he's a part of the furniture. He's a part of the thing. But God is not in those things. He's not in everything, but he's present everywhere. Those are two different things. Isaiah 6, verse 3. He said, and one called to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth. Man, physically, you cannot escape the Holy Spirit. You can't escape him. You ever have that person in your life where it's like everywhere you go, you run into them, right? It's like you go to Walmart and like there they are. You go to Joe's Neat and you're like, there they are again. Like, how is it that I keep running into this person everywhere I go? I see him over and over and over, even when I don't want to. Like, there he is again. See this guy again? Like, I'm spent. Like, he's exhausting, or she's exhausting. It could be a girl, too, okay? It's not just guys. But everywhere you see them, and you just keep wondering, how could this person be everywhere? It doesn't make sense. Me and Christy went shopping one time in Champaign, and it was like every store we went to, we kept seeing the same lady, and I'm like, this is unbelievable. Like, we drove across town, and there she is again. And I wasn't, like, annoyed with her. It was just like, this doesn't make sense. How can she physically be everywhere that we go? Like, I'm pretty sure she was behind us, yet we got to the store, and she was already inside. Over and over and over. I couldn't believe it. And that happens to us sometimes with people. How much more so with God? He's not limited by space. He can be anywhere, everywhere. Remember Jonah? When you think about Jonah, man, Jonah tried to run from God, right? Jonah, we think about this story. A lot of these Old Testament stories and accounts, we kind of hinge on one thing. What's Jonah's thing? He was what? Swallowed by a big fish, right? He was swallowed by a big fish. And a lot of times we leave it there. But why was he swallowed by the big fish? He was running from God. That's what it started with, was I'm going to get away from God. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of town. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to the people. He refused. He got on a boat. He went the other way. Who was there? God was there. How do we know God was there? Because it said that God brought a big storm to the sea. Now, don't come in here and tell me that God doesn't bring storms into your life. I'm giving you an example right here. God does bring storms into your life, but it's for a reason, for a purpose. It's not to harm you. It's for your good. He brings this storm, and Jonah tells the guys, he's like, guys, this is my fault because I'm running from God, and apparently he's already here. He's like, and they're like, oh, you know, we'll ride it out. And he's like, the only way it's going to work is for you to throw me overboard. Like, I'm telling you, if you don't get rid of me, like, this storm's not going to quit because he's looking for me. Apparently he found me. He's here. And so they do. They finally throw him overboard, and it says instantly the storm stopped. Everything got calm because they threw Jonah overboard. Praise God, that wasn't the end of Jonah. He gets swallowed by the big fish. He's in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, which is a foreshadowing of Jesus and his death. Guess who's there? In the fish. God's there too. Can't escape him. I couldn't escape him on the run. I get on the boat. He's there in the storm. I get in the fish. He's there too. And finally, Jonah confesses, Lord, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I have sinned. And the fish spits him out. Right? Spits him out on the dry land, not back into the water. Right? So God's it's progressing. He's getting better, getting closer. He's on the dry ground. And Jonah goes and preaches to Nineveh. And they all get saved. Praise God, he was there too. He was already in Nineveh. That's how we know, because the people responded to the message. They got saved. God is everywhere on the earth. Are we aware of his presence? That's the question. Are we aware? Verse 10, he says that even there, right, whether it's the east or the west, even there your hand will lead me, your right hand will hold on to me. Even there. Say even there. Right, wherever it is that you go on this earth, whatever physical place that you are in, even there, God will be there. Even there, he will be present. Are you aware of his presence? He says, wherever you are in life, right, his hand will lead you. This is saying the Holy Spirit will guide you, he'll direct you, he'll show you the way, because do you know that he's working on you? The Holy Spirit is constantly working on you even before you chose to come to Jesus. That's how you made that choice in the first place. He was already drawing you. But then he says his right hand will hold on to you. And I want to point this out, how significant this is. He says his right hand will hold on to you. His left hand will lead you, but his right hand will hold on to you. And when we think about the right hand, it always symbolizes in the word power and authority is in the right hand. I hope that gives you comfort this morning, thinking that God's power and authority will hold on to you. Now, I'm not going to leave that right there because that's not good enough. I want to look a little bit further. Look at what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 says. He, God, demonstrated his power in the Messiah by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Look at what David is saying. His right hand will hold on to you. Who is God's right-hand man? It's Jesus. David's saying, Jesus will hold on to me. Right, wherever I go, whether I go to the east or to the west, whether I go north or south, it doesn't really matter. Jesus will hold on to me. Praise God. How great is that? How comforting is that to know that if you are in Christ, wherever you go, Jesus will not let you go. Man, God is so smart, isn't he? How he sets all this up with King David. First, the Holy Spirit will lead you. Secondly, Jesus will hold on to you. And this is critical because here he's present in the spiritual. We see he's present in the natural, in the physical. And then this third part that David points out, I think somebody's going to resonate with this morning. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light around me will be night. See, we've talked about the spiritual and we talked about the physical, and here we're seeing that God is everywhere when we talk about the soul, the emotional, when we talk about the way that we think. He says, surely the darkness will hide me. Again, if you haven't noticed in the Psalms, David had a lot of dark times. David had a lot of Psalms that started out really bad, really negative, really, I'm really down in the dumps, and at the end he was always praising God and talking about how he was his rock, his salvation. He had a lot of dark times. I'd say that if you read through the Psalms, you could make a pretty good assumption that David at times was probably what we would classify today as being depressed. Surely the darkness will hide me. to hide me. That means to cover with a cloth, like a tablecloth. Surely darkness will cover over me. It'll conceal me. Listen, if darkness covers over, if a thick cloth covered over you, concealed you, it would do what? It would block out all the light, which is what he says. The light around me will become night. This darkness conceals me, and now everything around me that was light has turned into night. It blocks out the light. You can't see anymore. Now here's the question. Is God there? Yes. See, he's still there. Even if the darkness conceals you, even if the darkness, the things that you're dealing with in your mind, your will, and the emotions, even if they have covered over you to where you can't see any light at all, God is still there. He's still present. You just can't see it. But he's there. Can I tell you that people, even Christians in this room, that we need to talk about spiritual health a little bit more? A lot a bit more. We need to talk about it because it's a real thing. It's a real struggle. It's a real issue that we need to address. Listen, I want to tell you this morning, if you need help, get it. Don't let your pride prevent you from getting help. Don't let your, I'll fight through it. I'll battle this by myself. I'll get there. Don't let that get you down. Like, you better get the help. Don't be ashamed. Ask for help, because I guarantee you, if you were to ask around, you're not alone. Like, this isn't something that you have to deal with on your own. I can assure you of that. It can be like a big, heavy blanket just being thrown over you, blocking all the light until it becomes dark, but God. Say, but God. Okay, but God is there. Verse 12 says, even the darkness is not dark to you, God. Like, this is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. They're the same thing to God, right? God has night vision, like, built in. It looks the same. It doesn't look green like it does when we do night vision, but it just looks the same. It doesn't matter if it's light or dark. God can see right through it. He can see through that blanket. He can see you in your situation, in your position. He can see that there's not any light in there, but what he wants you to know is that light is right here. It's right here. He says, you need to be aware of my presence. You need to be made aware that I am right here. You know, when God led the Israelites in the wilderness, he led them by a cloud that had fire in it, a pillar of fire by night. Do you know that as he was in that pillar of fire, do you know that he didn't need light to see? He was the light. He didn't have, maybe you, like, I come in here sometimes like this at night. I'm like, I don't like to turn on any lights, right? I get my flashlight out and I start, make sure I don't, like, nobody's in here. I don't run into anything. How many of you know that God didn't need a flashlight? He was the light. He brought the light. And so you need to know that he is there. He can see. He doesn't have any hindrances. The light is right outside. You just need help getting the blanket off. Isaiah 43, verse 2. He said, I will be with you when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the rivers. They will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. Remember the Red Sea, when God parted the Red Sea? He's not talking about the Egyptian army here. When he's saying they will not overwhelm you, he's talking about the waters. He's saying, walk through there with that confidence. They weren't near as worried about the guys that were behind as they were these walls of water that were next to them. I don't know about you, but that'd be pretty freaky, seeing the water just built up as a wall. He's saying, I won't let that water overwhelm you. He did the same thing in the Jordan when the priests crossed, right? And they had to do something first. Anybody remember what they had to do? They had to step in. Once they stepped in, God parted the water, again made a wall, and he says, I will not let that water overwhelm you. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Three men in the fire, they got cast in the fire, and it's like, wait a minute, there's a fourth man in the fire. I mean, if we could stop right there, that would be good enough to know that He is with you. Again, right? He's there. He's everywhere. He's there in the fire, but even better, because he was in the fire with them, that they came out the other side, and it says not a hair was singed. Right? Nothing. They got nothing from being in the fire. They got tested. They got tried. They were proved to be faithful. And he was there with him. He's saying, when you walk through that fire, the flame will not burn you. There is no place that he's not with you. There's no place that you're beyond God's care. You can't escape him spiritually, physically, emotionally. He is there in all of those places. So the question remains, are you aware of his presence? This is what it all comes back to, church. Lord, make me aware of your presence. Let me know that you are near. If you would stand to your feet this morning as we get ready to close out, I want to ask you this morning, you know, some of you, I believe, are in this place and you are like that Native American 13-year-old boy, right? You feel like you're standing there in the woods, in the deep. It's dark. You feel like you're alone. You feel like there's no hope, but I'm going to tell you, there may be darkness all around you, but your Father is there. Right? He is there, but he's not just there. He is with you. He's not just observing to see what will happen, but the moment, the instant that you come running. That boy had to do a few things. He had to take off the blindfold, right? He also had to then open his eyes. Sometimes we need to do that. We need to take off the blindfold. We need to open our eyes. But see, we got this extra step that he didn't necessarily have. We have to trust God, right? We just have to trust him. We got to believe that God is faithful to his word when he said he will never leave us or forsake us. We got to believe that he's faithful to his word when he said, I will be with you until the end of the age. Romans 8, verse 38 says, for I am persuaded. That means I've been convinced. I've been talked into it. I believe it. That not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. None of those things have the power to separate you. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes as we consider these couple of things. First of all, have you called out to Jesus? Have you made that step in your life? First, for the salvation of your spirit. Do you have his presence spiritually? Have you been born again with the Spirit of God living in you? If you haven't, I want you to ask yourself right now, why not? Why not? I mean, have you heard anything about God that is bad for you, that you wouldn't want? We've sang about the goodness of God, about how he's faithful. Listen, it doesn't matter how long you've run, how much you've tried to flee his presence. He's still good. He's still faithful. He still wants you. If that's you this morning, I want you to make that decision. I want you to count the cost. The word tells us to count the cost. Like, it's going to cause some change in your life. You're going to have to give up some things, but I can tell you and I can promise you that every person in this room that has made this decision can testify that it is worth it. It is worth it. If you know Jesus as Lord, have you made yourself constantly aware of his presence in your life? Do you remember that he is near when you're going through those times of physical trouble, of emotional trouble in your life? Do you remember that he is here, he is near? And the word that God gave us for 2020 for our church, and I believe even for our community, was to draw near. Have you made that step in your struggle to step out to God and say, God, I need you. Jesus, I need your intervention in my life. I know that you're here. I know that you're near. But honestly, I've been keeping you at arm's length, and I'm ready to welcome you. And I'm ready to say, Lord, make me aware of your presence. Lord, come and have your way. If that's you this morning, church, I want you to lift your hands to heaven. Any of those situations, if they meet you with who you are, and I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, everybody, if you're saved, I want you to repeat this either way. Say, Father, today I give my life to Jesus. I know that he's the one that I need. I know that his presence is near. Today I receive him as my Lord and Savior. But Lord, there's more than that. I need to know that he is near every day. Lord, make me aware of your presence. Make me aware of my need. Lord, I thank you that you never give up on me. I thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, as we wrap up with a song of worship, of lifting you high, of lifting the name of Jesus, Lord, help us to know today that you're near. It's not just a thing in our minds, but let it be something that is shown to us in our heart. We need your presence in our lives. Lord, we have the presence of people around us, and we're thankful for these strong men and women of God that you've put in our lives. But every one of us, no matter where we're at in our spiritual walk, there's nothing that we need that is more than you and your presence. And so we just ask that we'd experience that today, that we'd have an encounter with you before we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.